Father, we thank you for your great kindness toward us, your goodness toward us, your faithfulness, your long-suffering and patience toward us, your mercy and grace. We can never thank you enough for all of these things that describe who you are and how you deal with us. We thank you that you have not dealt with us according to our sins, but you have granted us forgiveness and repentance. We do pray for those in need tonight, Father. We pray for those in physical need. We pray for Frank and for Kim and for Carmen. And I know there are others, Lord, who could use a strengthening touch from you, that you would help their bodies to recover from whatever they're going through. We also pray, Father, for Pastor Dan. We thank you that he has this opportunity to take time off and to refresh. And we pray that he would do just that, that he would be given new strength and that he would be able to continue and keep going in this work that you have for him to do. We also pray for Pastor Rick Hancock. We do not know him, but you do, and we just pray that you would help him to be a good example for the flock that you have placed him over. Help him to lead them in a godly way, and to just that church would grow in maturity and love for one another and love for you. And we pray that for this church also, that we would grow in our unity and grow in our love for you. Help us to do that. We need your help. We pray that you help us tonight as we study your word and look into it. Help us to grow from it, to become more mature, and to be even more like your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We're in James, not chapter 1, not chapter 2, but chapter 3. So we're continuing this section dealing with wisdom, two kinds of wisdom. One is true wisdom from God, and the other is a counterfeit wisdom. It's the wisdom of the world. So 2 weeks ago, last time I met here with you all, we studied verses 13 and 14. We saw that wisdom from God will be shown in a person's conduct. You'll exercise self-control. But there's another kind of wisdom, one that's characterized by bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, and arrogance. Now, in verses 15 and 16, James describes this worldly wisdom, and then he ends the chapter, verses 17 and 18, by again focusing on the godly wisdom, wisdom from above. So let's read this section from verse 13 through 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good conduct his works in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not coming down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruits, without doubting, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If I had more time and to prepare, and if we had more time to study tonight, like a two-hour class or so, maybe we could get through the end of the chapter, because it's really a great contrast there between the two. But as it is, we'll just take one section at a time. So tonight we're looking at the earthly wisdom, and next week we'll look at the wisdom from above. But seeing it all together, you can really see that contrast. Just reading it together, you can see that. So verse 15, this wisdom is not coming down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. This wisdom that he speaks of here is what we find in verse 14. It's characterized by a heart of bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, and it shows itself by arrogance and lies. This is not wisdom coming down from above. This is not wisdom from God. God is not the source of sin. He does not put wrong desires in our hearts. He does not promote human pride or deception. So this kind of wisdom, or so-called wisdom, does not come from God. Instead, it is earthly. The Apostle Paul spoke of worldly wisdom in his first letter to the Corinthians. Chapter 1 there says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." I'm going to kind of just read these three sections together. So chapter 2 and then chapter 3, and then talk about it, kind of summarize afterwards. So in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, he said, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with superiority of word or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the witness of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my word and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are being abolished. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the wisdom which has been hidden, which God predestined before the ages to our glory, which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And then chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, he must become foolish so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless." Okay, so the wisdom of the world, or earthly wisdom, it is not concerned with eternal things. It's focused on the here and now. It's the mind that's set on earthly things. So it's characterized by the thought that we should just eat, drink, and be merry, not really giving thought to consequences or future events. The wisdom of the world rejects the gospel. It does not worry about the judgment to come. The world says, if it feels good, do it. Live for today. Do whatever it takes to get ahead. So that kind of wisdom doesn't think about God. God is not in all his thoughts. In Jeremiah 4, verse 22, the Lord says, "My people are ignorant fools. They know me not. They are simple-minded children and have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they do not know." So worldly wisdom isn't concerned about doing good. It doesn't care about that or pleasing the Lord. Yes, selfish ambition, that's what we saw in verse 14, and it comes up again in verse 16. Yes, selfish ambition. This earthly kind of wisdom is natural. The Greek word here for natural, it comes from the word for soul. It's related to that. Other Greek translations on this verse, instead of natural, they would say sensual or unspiritual or physical. One expanded translation says, "This wisdom is not the world which comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, having to do with the natural physical existence as over against the spiritual world of the supernatural and demonic." So that's kind of like the Amplified Bible. They put definitions or descriptions in that translation itself. So much like earthly wisdom, natural or unspiritual wisdom deals with natural life and not spiritual life. It seeks to find fulfillment in the natural things of the world to the neglect of God and his word. Now in considering all this, I was trying to determine where to place Solomon's wisdom. And I'm not quite sure which category that would go. I'm kind of inclined to think that he possessed both worldly wisdom and a godly wisdom. Many of his wise sayings are recorded as inspired scripture, but on the other side, he also showed great spiritual foolishness in his latter years. His heart went after other gods, the gods of his many wives, and he built places of worship for them, and he sacrificed to their gods. So his heart was not faithful to the Lord. But we do see in 1 Kings chapter 4, this is before all that, this was in his earlier years, it says, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of understanding in his heart, like the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. And he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezrahite, Heman, Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And the renown of his name was in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that grows on the wall. He spoke also of animals and birds and creeping things and fish. And men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. So there it is clear in 1 Kings 4, verse 29, that God gave Solomon wisdom. So in that sense, it did come down from above. His wisdom included things of animal and plant life, we see in that passage. Or to use maybe more modern terms, we could say that Solomon was wise in biology, zoology, agriculture, architecture, engineering, a wide array of subjects that he had wisdom in. Natural sciences. Now, there's not anything wrong in itself with taking an interest and studying these things, but where it would become sin is when we take God out of the equation. And that seems to be what James is writing about here, a natural wisdom that doesn't consider God. So there are people wise in this world who have great knowledge and understanding of certain natural things, but they are not wise when it comes to God. So those, for example, who promote the idea of evolution may possess this kind of wisdom. They reject God's revealed truth, and they formulate their own ideas about how things came into being and how they function. Lastly, this wisdom is demonic. It's deceptive. It claims to be wise, but it is not. It is a false or counterfeit wisdom. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11 about false apostles, deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. He wrote, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his ministers also disguise themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he warned about those who will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. And in that context, he mentions those who forbid marriage and who promote abstaining from certain foods. And then in Colossians chapter 2, he questioned why they would put themselves under certain rules dealing with external things. Do not handle, do not taste, nor do not touch. And he said that these decrees are a word of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. So it's concerned about action rather than heart, or external things rather than internal. Yes.
Those that will fall away that you talked about, though they're not grounded in sound doctrine.
Right. They're following demonic doctrine, false teachers.
Right. So then are they true believers that has the Holy Spirit sealed in them that would bring that light upon them and show them what the right doctrine means? You know, kind of seems like they're not saved. Because the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth.
But at the same time, we have that responsibility to seek the truth out for ourselves and to reject the lie. So there in 1 Timothy 4, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by the hypocrisy of liars who have been seared in their own conscience, who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God created to be shared in with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Well, it's hard to be definitive about that, whether all who fall away, if they fall away completely, if they totally reject the truth and never return, then we could come to that conclusion that they were not saved to begin with. But it's possible, I believe, for a true Christian to fall into deception for a time, and hopefully God will call them out of that.
That's right. Why I've always first wondered time. About that, what you said there. I've wondered that a while back, because are they truly believers? You know what I mean? Sealed with the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's another verse like that that basically talks about the same thing. It says, ever learning and never becoming to the knowledge of the truth. That means
right.
That you could save, because God would have all to be saved and come under.
I do. So, if we're fitting that with what James is saying, this demonic wisdom, those who follow that demonic teaching, that's not from the Lord. If they're really following that and that's where their heart is, then they're probably not saved. You're probably right there. Yeah.
Nobody gets lost when it's all about you.
Right.
Selfish ambition.
So demonic wisdom is a form of wisdom that distorts God's word. It's deceptive. It may even possibly promote good things externally, but it ignores the condition of the heart. And so that... for that reason, it's a deadly wisdom, because those who are caught in the lie think that they're doing right. But if their heart is not right with God, then their works are not either. So demonic wisdom, it may tell people to work their way to God, earn your way to heaven, do more good than you do bad. That seems to be kind of a common belief. It may promote good things like giving to the poor or helping those in need or showing compassion to others, even forgiving those who wrong you. But none of these things can save a person. And so without a changed heart, you're really just doing these things for selfish wisdom. You're trying to, selfish reason, you're trying to get something for yourself out of it, whether it be salvation or some kind of reward from God. But demonic wisdom takes things from God's word that come after salvation, these good works, and they make them requirements for salvation. They say you have to do these in order to be saved.
Wow, that's so dumb.
Wow.
You got some kind of power surge going on here.
I don't know. I hope it comes back. I didn't even bring my phone, so I don't have a flashlight. But we're still in verse 14. No, we're in verse 15.
Well, I have a flashlight in the car.
I got one.
Oh, okay. There you go.
There you go.
Leah is high tech.
Okay, so it's demonic wisdom because it's deceptive, and that is what the devil does. That's what demons do. They deceive. They try to trick you into thinking you have to do good to be saved rather than be saved and then do good. So that's trying to earn salvation. The devil does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of lies. The serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, and he tries to deceive people with a different Jesus, a different spirit, a different gospel than what we find in the Bible. So he distorts the gospel of Christ. So this wisdom, it's earthly, natural, demonic. It is the wisdom of the world, of the flesh, and of the devil. This wisdom is in direct opposition to the wisdom of God. It calls good evil and evil good. It's just completely backwards. The scripture says, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and understanding in their own sight. Woe to those who are mighty men in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who declare the wicked righteous for a bribe and remove the righteous standing of the ones who are righteous." So that's kind of a worldly wisdom that, okay, if you're going to pay me a bribe, then I'll do what you want.
It's the total opposite of what God is. God is love.
He is.
And this is all about selfish ambition, so that's the total opposite of love. Nobody gets love for that.
It's selfish ambition. That is not love. It's
exactly.
Self-love instead of loving others.
Exactly.
One commentary on verse 15 says, "To find peace in the family and in the church, we must bring about reconciliation by confessing sin, by giving up selfish ambition, by praying for the Spirit of God's mercy, love, and peace." So that kind of fits with verse 16 also. So let's move on to verse 16. I don't know if you can read it, but verse 16 says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil practice." So verse 15, we have that description of worldly wisdom. It's earthly, natural, demonic. In verse 16, we have the results of following this kind of wisdom. There's disorder in every evil practice. So the internal attitudes of jealousy and selfish ambition lead to external disorder and every kind of evil practice. One commentator says, "The root of the trouble is in the heart, but the fruit, the effects, are out in the open where everybody can see them." So jealousy and selfish ambition, we saw these two terms in verse 14 already, where it says, "If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth." These two words are also in that list that Paul gave in Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy," that's the first one, "outbursts of anger, selfish ambition," there's the other word, "dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So these are works of the flesh, jealousy and selfish ambition. They do not come from the Holy Spirit. Ambition in itself is different from this word, selfish ambition. So there can be a good kind of ambition, but that's not what is being spoken of here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Forgot that. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Paul wrote, "Since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly, and are you not walking like mere men?" The word strife there, it's not the exact same word as selfish ambition here, but they are related words. And in that passage, his point was that they were infants in Christ, and their behavior was really indistinguishable from the unsaved. They were that immature. That was 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. One commentary asks, "What is envy? Envy is the resentful and even hateful dislike of the good fortune or blessing of another. Envy destroys mutual confidence, demolishes unity, and is devilish in design. Envy develops into disorder. That commentary is going on a translation where it uses envy instead of jealousy, but it's that same word.
So, in other words, it's not love towards another human being.
It is not love, right?
It's the opposite of God. That's why it's considered devilish.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's not wisdom from God. So where the heart is full of jealousy, looking around at others and desiring what they have, and when it's full of selfish ambition or an inner drive for power or prestige, perhaps even a desire for a good thing, but it's a sinful desire because it's willing to do whatever it takes to get there, where these things exist, there is disorder and every evil practice. The word disorder here, in other passages, it's translated commotion or disturbance, confusion, tumult. One Greek dictionary defines it as instability, a state of disorder, disturbance, confusion. And in the plural form, they are disturbances, disorders of dissensions, of seditions, of the tumults or commotions of war. So it can be rather violent in a sense, that disorder. So this should be rather obvious of a statement here that disorder would come from this selfish ambition. If people are trying to get their own way, that's eventually going to cause conflict when there is a clash of goals. For example, two people trying to get the same job. Worldly wisdom will say, do what benefits you the most. As long as you get the job, it doesn't matter how you get it. So then that could lead to many other sins. Maybe you bribe the person who's hiring, or you slander the other person who's applying for the job. Or maybe you go to that other person directly and try to intimidate them or even attack them. Things can really escalate and get out of control, keep getting worse and worse, and become very chaotic. It can lead to every evil practice because this worldly wisdom does not exercise restraint, that self-control that comes from godly wisdom.
There's no love in that.
Right.
At all.
We saw that the wisdom from God is shown in good conduct, in works, in the gentleness of wisdom. That gentleness is really self-control. Disorder is really the opposite of peace. In Romans chapter 12, Paul writes, "Do not be wise in your own mind, never paying back evil for evil to anyone, respecting what is good in the sight of all men, if possible, so far as it depends on you, being at peace with all men. Never taking your own revenge, beloved. Instead, leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." We are to seek peace and pursue it. We'll look more at this next time when we come to verse 17, dealing with the wisdom from above, and verse 18. We'll look at peace a bit more next week. There's really a lot in 17 and 18, so we'll actually finish a little early tonight to hopefully get through those two verses next week. But, following the wisdom of the world and pursuing every jealous and selfish ambition would result in disorder and conflict, and that would then lead to every kind of evil practice, such as quarrels and conflicts, fighting and murder. We'll see that in chapter 4. Cain killed his brother Abel because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. So there was maybe a jealousy behind that. Really, there's no limit. Every kind of evil practice, every evil deed can come from a heart of jealousy or selfish ambition. And that's it for my notes. Comments or questions? Frank.
I had an experience way back when I was, I guess, about 21 years old. I worked in manufacturing on Long Island, and the company I worked for at that time, in 1961, they somehow had a connection in Germany to hire German machinists to come over here, because they were supposed to be the top-notch guys around. And there were three of them that worked in my department. And I don't know if jealous is the right word that they had or what, but they'd be working on some intricate thing on the milling machine, and I thought, wow, that guy knows how to do that. And I walked over there to look at what he's doing. I wanted to learn what he's doing. And he went and moved over like this and blocked me. I kept working so as I couldn't see it, what he's doing.
You're supposedly working for the same company, so...
Yeah, but he didn't want me to get his German knowledge.
Wow.
He says, this American kid isn't going to take my knowledge. Something like that he must have been thinking, you know? And I never forgot that. But those guys didn't want to show us what they learned over in Germany. So that was kind of, I'm trying to think what kind of sin that is when you're doing that.
Well, they obviously weren't wanting the best for their employer if they weren't willing to share their knowledge, so.
Yeah.
Well, that's a certain effective thing, but it's what I did. I got this individual promoted into management, right? Same job as I had. And we were always in competition, and he was always trying to beat me, right? But couldn't. So he asked me one day, he says, how come I can't beat you? I was with you all that time, and so on and so forth. And I says, I never told you everything. So I hid the information so he couldn't truly compete.
So is that a sin what he's talking about?
Was it?
Not enough information? No, I don't think it was. You know, eventually he got the information, but, you know, it's just like I say, I'm not going to tell you everything, so you displace me. Okay? You put me out on the street.
Curtis? Yeah.
Yes. The next verse that we're talking about, wisdom is from above, this peace, all the fruits of peace. We know that it's better to be at peace with everyone, right? Okay, well, you got disorder. Disorder is not peace.
Nope.
So you can clearly see the differences there. It's total opposite of what
it is.
God's all about.
Willing to yield, full of mercy. Yeah. This is the opposite of that
exactly.
Selfish ambition.
And you can see the devilness in it, because nobody's going to get love. Because it's selfish ambition. It's all about you.
Yeah.
If you won't stop and move when you need to move, who's going to get love? Only you, because it's all about you.
Yeah, but you're saying, you know, like when you're on a job and you're competing and you're saying, right, you have the ambition. Mm-hmm. It's not just about you. It's about your family and everybody you're supporting.
Yes, but you also got to remember not to walk on other people.
Oh, no, you don't step on anybody.
That's what we're talking about.
Right.
I just use that getting a job as just an example of where that could come into play. But
that's what we're talking about. Selfish ambitions is what the world teaches.
Yeah.
It says at the bottom of the Bible, remember the little thing that says, you know, it says, but remember, mere human wisdom is the expression of Satan's agenda. To convey heavenly wisdom, you must communicate with heaven.
That's like living
in
the dog world.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't hear what she said.
it said, but remember, mere human wisdom is an expression of Satan's agenda. To convey heavenly wisdom, you must communicate with heaven.
Where did you find that verse?
That one of those things. Oh, it's one of the little notes that are at the bottom of my Bible, just that relate to the top of the
study Bible notes.
Okay, that reminds me of a little bunch of people that says, "Oh, we're enlightened."
What?
We're enlightened. Who do they call them? The Illuminati's or the
Illuminati?
That's the devil of wisdom, right?
Centuries ago, the Illuminati's.
I've heard of that.
They were in Rome.
They're bad news, man. I'm telling you, a bunch of devil worshiping godwards there, and they think they're so enlightened.
The thing, I don't know how far to go into that, but the Holy Spirit does illuminate us. He does enlighten our eyes to see the truth of God's Word, give us that understanding. So there is a good use of that. That's actually a good term, but they misuse it in the sense of claiming to have special secret knowledge that no one else can get. That's more like Gnosticism.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. You understand what I'm talking
about. But that would fall, I guess, under that same lines of selfish ambition or jealousy, trying to elevate yourself above others.
Right.
Arrogance. That's all in this passage. Okay.
Well, that was a good Bible study, other than that.
Short, but
blackout
was. I did look on the Withlacoochee outage area, and they said there was about 12,000 people without power in the Shady Hills area at that time. So,
really?
Don't know what, why.
Yeah.
It came back quick.
Yeah, I could see lights over there, and they were off.
Okay, so it wasn't just this building.
Look at you.
All right. All right, that is good. Well, let's pray and we can be dismissed. Father, we do thank you. Thank you for giving your wisdom from above. And help us, Father, not to follow the world or to seek its wisdom, but to look to you for meeting our needs. Look to you for the wisdom that we lack. Help us, Father, to ask you, just as you say, if any of you lack wisdom, to ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given. So we do ask you, and we pray that you keep giving us what we lack. We do need your help. We do need your wisdom. We need your help to live in a way that pleases you and to forsake any kind of sin in our hearts that would help, that would work selfishly against others around us, but help us, Father, just to yield to your will and what you would have us to do. Thank you again for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.